It is starting. So, good morning. Now, let's get it out of the way. Don't need a trip over, do I? Good morning, good morning. And good to be back. Although I will tell you, next week we have another interruption with Nate and Dara Schellenberger, which will be good. And talking about the BCM resident, Biblical Counseling Ministry residential thing that we're supporting them in. Some of you, if you've been around here as long as I have, you remember Dara. Used to be Dara Hohulan. And Ken Hohulan and Don and their youngest, right, Therese? And is married to Nate, and could be good stuff. And and then I was in Louisville last weekend and listened to Pastor Josh from last week's lesson, and at that point I think he thought he was up for today, but there he is. He's up every day. But the fact that he's preaching today is probably good that I intervened here a little bit. But last time I was here, we talked about some unbiblical reactions to suffering. And today what I want to do is get into some biblical responses by looking at, as you well guess, the Bible. And that'd be a good place to go, wouldn't it? And but let me pray and we'll roll and talk about some of those things. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the rain, needing rain. And Lord, continue to bring some, Lord, not too much, not without storms, but good for crops, good for us in a lot of different ways, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for your word as we get into it today. Thank you for the word that was preached by Pastor Josh already this morning, and it was so good and rich, and will be preached again, Lord. Thank you. We don't thank you enough for your word. Lord, let us respond to it well, particularly in suffering. Lord, it's your love letter to us, and to introduce us to you, the object of our faith, in this fight for faith. And so, Lord, help us in that, and help us today in the next hour, even to better understand that, Lord. Let us use each other and sharpen iron here today as we would look into your word. And we ask that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I make this statement. It's been made really in about every lesson we've been in, and in the Capitol Hill study, Capitol Hill Baptist study, it's a big part of focus of their study on this thing called suffering. But suffering is a battle for faith. And Romans 10:17 then says, so faith, that battle for faith, comes from hearing, and hearing through the, what would you throw in there, guys, gals? The word, yeah. The word of God, or the word of Christ, as it says in Romans 10:17. And someone threw this at me a while back, and I don't know who it was, probably someone around here, I don't know. But if you, and when you do get a letter in the mail addressed to you, the first thing you look for before you even open it is the return address, isn't it? But if you got a return address with God on it, that'd be pretty interesting, wouldn't it? I mean, we'd be digging into that thing. We'd be digging in. And yet, we've got this thing called the Bible that is God's word. Even some of it are epistles, letters, but it's God's letter to us. And do we, I don't know, appreciate it, read it, study it as if it is his very communication to us. He talks to us through his word, by his spirit. And I don't think, quite frankly, I do like I should. And actually, in preparing this study, it has caused me to do that. And but man, in the middle of suffering, and I don't know, we can talk about this in a little bit, I think, more. You know, man, the Word of God is so, so vital. So vital. And I would think maybe maybe the most important thing. I don't know. We've been through some, Teresa and I, with our daughter. I love that my Kaylee has scripture taped up different spots and with her. And I know probably Teresa more than myself would regularly share scripture with her to encourage her in her suffering. How about you guys and your suffering? Can you relate to that? Maybe you're not suffering now, but have. You will. Sean's going to have surgery here in a couple weeks. And that's not easy stuff. And how about it? Have you gone to God's Word in the midst of your suffering? And will you? And even as Paul Tripp in his book on suffering talked about, he discovered, you know, I wasn't expecting this kidney stuff that I talked a little bit about, but I came to realize God had prepared me through His Word. And then next week, we're going to talk about how maybe we can use God's Word to help others in the midst of their suffering. And so be thinking through that as we look, you know, what is it about God's Word that has just encouraged you and your suffering? We'll look at some specific scriptures here in a little bit. But so what must we do? We got to read God's Word. We got to read God's Word, don't we? And with that, you want to put these things together with the knowledge of God, belief in what we're reading here. We got to believe what we're reading or hear. This is not another book. And then the big word we've been talking about for the last number of weeks is trusting in God to be and to do what He says He will. We grow in faith. And it starts with hearing the Word of God. June 4th, some of you... Anybody else use this devotion, New Morning Mercies? Anybody been through that? Yeah. I'm going through about 6 or 7 times now and every year. And they got a new one, so I probably need to get that new one. But it says here at the bottom of June 4th, so we all need help. Anybody else need help besides me? You don't have to raise your hand, but it comes to us the gift. I love that word, the gift of God's Word. Empowered by the convicting ministry of the Holy Spirit, it is the universe's most accurate mirror. Stand in front of it and you will see yourself as you really are. The diagnostic accuracy of the Bible is perfect. And because it's diagnosis of your true condition, your true need, it's always accurate. The Word of God is able to offer the only reliable cure for your condition. An effective cure is always attached to an accurate diagnosis. And here's the good news. You don't need to be afraid of all the dark things you don't see in yourself, but which Scripture reveals about you, because all those dark things have been covered by and defeated by the powerful grace that is yours in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Those are sweet words to me the other day. And, anyway, we'll talk more about that. I guess maybe it was Pastor Josh, you know, Ben and I taught a class. I think I brought the book, yeah, on spiritual disciplines for the Christian life. We're going to talk a little bit about reading the Bible. Not much. We did a whole class on this. Most of it was about reading the Bible, prayer, and other spiritual disciplines, but as well. I know we used to have this out here in the library. I don't know if it's still there. It's a Don Whitney book, and... if you get a chance, I just encourage you. We teach that class again. It was great, but Let me just hit a couple things mentioned in the study of Capitol Hill that I think are big, and then we're actually going to get into some scripture. And how about this? We need to read the Bible. And just a couple of protections that they suggest, and I think these are good. The greatest protection against scripture reading as becoming routine and superficial is a sense that we, you know what word goes in there? We need it. We need it. And how dependent are we in reading the Bible? Because I know sometimes it can get routine and superficial. Talk more about that in just a second, too. But are we absolutely dependent? I don't. There's some days every once in a while that I go without reading the Bible. And it's not sin, but I know when I don't. More important, Teresa probably knows better than I do, because I could be blinded by that. But it doesn't happen very often anymore. And but I just, some of you read every day. When do you read? Do you read in the morning, Joel? When you can?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Teresa probably more at night, me in the morning. I don't know, but we got to, when I used to always be in the morning, and then I got into this thing called FCA about 11 years ago, and sometimes I'm out at 5 o'clock, 5:30, and I need sleep because I was out the night before. So I found out I've got to carve out some time for that. But, well, folks, carve out some time. And how about this one? Protect against busyness. We need a plan. It guards what is crucial and helps us to say no to the D word there. I didn't fill them in. I filled a bunch of them in already, but distractions, yeah. Yeah. And man, I think there's more out there in this world today than there's ever been. I know there's always been distractions, but yeah. But have a plan. And Pastor Summers mentioned years and years ago, I'll never forget, he had a Bible professor that told him, if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. And he's probably right. But, you know, Newcastle's got a plan. There's a lot of plans out there. And, but you know, when is it? Where is it? You know, carving that time out, having a plan. Are you reading through the Bible or do you have a devotion you're in? But having that plan. And is vital. And again, we're not going to spend the time talking about different kinds of plans, but just keep that before you. And then they call it protecting against exhaustion. It seems when the word seems cold, stiff, unresponsive, especially in times of suffering, it can. And we still read. We still have to have the discipline to read. And it's interesting to me, I think it was mentioned in one of the other studies. We talk about this word trust. And when we trust God and His Word, we're going to have more discipline. Because we know how vital it is. But we've also talked, when we're suffering, sometimes it's hard to trust. But we still got to have that discipline. And just keep that before you. It's the discipline of praying and reading God's Word. I mean, some people suffer, I don't even want to go to church. And being with God's people, hearing your Word. But we need God's Word, obviously, more than just Sunday morning. And But suffering can take us down a tough road that we're not getting fed and we're not praying. And, you know, it's vital that we stay around God's Word, praying to God. Talk more about that in just a second. And being in God's house as much as we can, or at least around God's people. Maybe we can't be in God's house, but hearing that word, even like Eileen and 99, yeah, But hearing that word just encourage her. So Psalm 119:8 says, open my eyes that I might see wonderful things in your law. What did the psalmist do? What should we do before reading? What did he do? He prayed. Yeah. He prayed. And then, particularly when feeling weak, get a helping hand. Folks, we have more resources now than we've ever had in history, probably, I would guess. There's a whole lot of them out here. I've got some here. Just mention this one. If you have not read this one, read it before you start suffering, or read it if you're suffering now. It's an excellent book. Maybe the best. I don't know. I've bought that book for a number of folks, even in FCA. But there's just a lot of resources out there. And, you know, the Study Bible, this is a good one. You can pick one up out here. I think the MacArthur Bible's out here. This is one that I use that I've got at home. I used to carry it around here, but now it's falling apart. But so I carry my mama's Bible with me. And but, man, there's just some good, helpful stuff online and so forth. There's also some bad, helpful stuff. Bad, unhelpful stuff. Is that how you would describe it, Pastor Josh? You want to make sure you get some good stuff. And what we have out here is good. It's very good. It's been gone through and so forth. And so reading the Bible, how about this one? And then praying the Bible. And just some things to consider. Many of you are familiar with the ACTS acronym, Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, Supplication. As far as a kind of a framework for prayer, you can do that with Scripture. This book is out there, and it's a great book. Again, I got Whitney again here. Believe it or not, you probably came to know Whitney a little bit, Pastor Josh. I have not met him when I've been on campus of Southern Seminary, but I'm going to bump into him one time. Either that or I'm going to go visit. I know where he lives. And
he's retired.
Has he retired?
And moved in.
We can't do that. Was he the one that lived in that neighborhood? I did not realize that. But interesting. I'm in the habit, and have been for a number of years, of prayer journaling. And I like to think that when I ink it, I think it better. And I get this out when I read. Some of you know, you just think about this a little bit. I started the Old Testament, and this is kind of how I do it. I don't know if it's the right way to do it or not, but it helps me to think. As you know, I started the Old Testament, Genesis 1:1-31 was my reading here on January 26. And it says, and I quote when I'm referencing Scripture, it says, in the beginning, you, my Lord, you were in the beginning and are the beginning of all things you create. Remind me of that today to keep you first above all things. Then, quote, you said, you spoke all creation into existence. What power, what kind of God are you? Sometimes I confess I think of you as a friend like my other friends. However, you are my God who spoke things into existence by your mighty power. You are Almighty God. 3! Was my mom's favorite. She always gave 3! In her letter. Then you created it all and, quote, saw that it is good. Thanking my Lord to bring a good God, for being a good God who created all things good. Oh, how man has messed it up. And forgive me, forgive us, my Lord. I look forward to the new creation when it will be good again. Then you, quote, you created man in your own image. Wow. And just some more. And wondering what to pray? Pray Scripture. And this is a good, pray the Psalms. And, but you can pray other parts, you know. I think there's a book on praying the Psalms as well. But number two, pray the Bible. Read the Bible, pray the Bible. How about this? Remember the Bible. Anyone a good memorizer? Is that a right word? Memorizer of the memorizer of God's word? I'm not like I should be. You're afraid to raise your hand because I may ask you, well, repeat something that you've memorized. So homework next time will be, we got 2 weeks now. You can memorize, will be Romans 8 be good. No, you're just joking. But I 2 Peter 1:13, I think it right, as long as I'm in the body to steer you up by way of reminder. Remembering the Bible is huge. And I looked this up. I did this a long time ago. I did it again last night. The word remember is mentioned 231 times in the Bible. Wonder why he had to do that. I thought I was the only one that had spiritual amnesia, but I guess it's been going on for centuries, huh, Joel? And,
I can't remember how long it's been going on.
You can't remember how long it's been going on. But in suffering, maybe more. That's good, Joel. You're a poet and you didn't even know it. You're being, yeah, anyway, thank you, Joel. I memorizing God's word, and instead of listening to yourself, which we do, and it can be false listening. You know, we can bring all kinds of junk into our mind without much trouble. But we should talk scripture to ourselves. You know, there's a book out there, I didn't bring it with me, it talks about preaching the gospel to yourself before you do anything. But we need to preach God's word to ourselves. So how about this one? I love the study brought this in. How about this one? Sing the Bible. It aligns our affections, even our emotions. And Josh got into emotions last week, and Will again, I think. But I don't know, is anybody doing any singing in their daily devotions? Used to do some after probably 15, 20 years ago. We had, who was that group, Teresa?
Life Action.
Life Action here. I said, you might try that. And I had a house full of young kids, and I probably didn't want to wake them, but my singing hopefully was not that loud. But I mentioned this morning before I prayed, I love it when we sing scripture. And so much of our singing is scripture.
You ever attend a synagogue, you'll discover the Hebrew scriptures are not read, they are sung.
Really?
Yeah.
Psalms, a lot of it?
Mm-hmm.
Psalms, a lot of it, or a lot of?
Just anything.
Anything.
It's, it's a memory aid.
Yeah.
Think a little bit, you can go on some stupid, advertisement from years ago. You can't get out of your head once you think of it.
Yeah, I probably the last song we sing today will be hanging around with me for the next few hours. And anyway.
Deuteronomy 6:4, the Shema, is that's said every Sunday, or every Saturday in every synagogue.
Yeah.
Shema Yisrael Adonai Elohim you Adonai God.
Yeah.
And you tend to remember it.
You would. You will.
Yeah.
I think it was God's way of helping us to remember is right. And with the Psalms, but in particular, but all of it, the Shema. And, well, just consider that. I want to bring this to you. And before we, you know, kind of leave this topic a little bit, but it's J.I. Packer's quoted here as saying, if I were the devil, one of my first aims would be to stop folks from digging into the Bible. I should do all I could to surround it with a spiritual equivalent of pits, thorn hedges, and man traps to frighten people off. Distract us, get us busy, make us to think we're too hurt to turn to God's word, and the battle is already lost. And So particularly in this area of suffering, we've got to keep God's word before us. So what I want to do then is, and you've got two sheets there. The second sheet you have is some scripture. And in this book in particular, I mentioned the first half of it speaks to the traps we talked about 2 weeks ago. And then the last six chapters are talking about the comfort of God's, you fill in the blank, we'll fill in the blank. And with each chapter, he's got some scriptures that he speaks to, as well as some principles out of those scriptures. And that's what I really want to look at today. And those six are up here. Anyway, let's do that. If you'll open up, or if you want to use your own Bible, that's fine too. But I've got the scriptures in front of us. If you want to mark these up, I'll read the first one since it's kind of long. Then we'll have read and so forth. And we'll just talk about this a little bit. But here's what I'd like you to do as we read. And you can mark it up. And then we'll talk about each one of these some. But do this, if you would. Mark up here, or mark in your Bible if you don't. If you've got a Bible, you like to mark it up. But here we go with Romans 8. 18 to 39. Many of you are very familiar with this, and at least part of it. But I'm going to ask you in a second, what is it in here that might encourage you in the midst of your suffering? Or might encourage you down the road in the midst of your suffering? Or might be an encouragement to someone else who's in the midst of some suffering? Okay? So let's read it. For consider that the sufferings, there we are, sufferings, of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. You found anything yet? For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who are have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is see, for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts know what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And then some verses that are probably all very familiar with. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charges against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's a mouthful. I don't even think Stephen heard this before he went through his stuff, did he, Pastor Josh? But he knew it. And if you haven't been to the service yet, you're going to hear about some suffering. And so what do you see in there? Anything in particular hit you? What do you see that really hit you that maybe, man, this is stuff I need to remember, particularly when I'm suffering? What are you seeing?
I'm always comforted by the verse 34 that Christ is interceding for us.
Yeah. He is there interceding for you. Yeah.
And the last verse, nothing will separate us from the love of God.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I can recall one time where Teresa mentioned to me, I think this is my favorite verse. Now, I don't think it is now, but and I know I'd read that, but I don't know if I, that was years ago. Wow, that's powerful stuff. Yeah, so good. What else are you seeing that you really like in context of suffering?
God is for us, who can be against
us? Yeah. Who can be against us? Yeah. Who can be against us? And there is pushback out there, isn't there? There is pushback. No doubt about it. You were talking about interceding, and when you don't know how to intercede or pray to be interceded, you got a Holy Spirit that does, don't you? That lives in you. We've been there. I've heard Teresa say, I don't know how to pray anymore. But the prayer didn't stop. This is the Holy Spirit that is in us. That is good stuff. Anything else here that's really hitting you right now? Hope is mentioned 6 times up top there, top first 4 or 5 verses. What's going on there? In the midst of suffering.
If the suffering's temporary.
It is temporary, isn't it? That's good to know. That is very good to know. Keeping that before me when I'm suffering. It's good stuff. Good stuff, isn't it? I think the first sermon I heard, maybe, I don't know, on Romans 8, was after the church down in Fort Worth, I think, in the Dallas area, maybe it was Fort Worth, got shot up on a Wednesday night, probably 20 years ago, and done a little looking at this, and the pastor that next Sunday preached on Romans 8, and particularly Romans 8, 28 and 29, and in the midst of a congregation that was just suffering. Number of kids shot, some of their youth workers, and yeah. So, my question is, which of these have we just talked about? I guess? Could be a lot of them. There's a lot in there. But we're going to talk, if you're reading down below, we're going to talk, let's cross this one off. Comfort of God's grace. How about that? Which, a whole lot of Romans in there. So let's look at a couple things here. Tripp would call this the theology of uncomfortable grace, which we've talked a lot about, and Josh has taught here, and well, even today out of the pulpit. But suffering is not an unusual, surprising experience. We've talked about that, haven't we? It is the experience of everyone, particularly Cub fans. But yeah, in the middle of it, God is up to something good. God's grace often does its best work when things are most difficult. And I think Pastor Josh just heard that point out of your sermon today. And we've talked about some of this, hasn't it? I love that song, was it 6-7 years ago by Laura Story, whose husband was battling cancer? Blessings. Blessings in raindrops. And yeah. Verses 26 and 27 talks about his intervening grace. In your most confused and emotional moments, our Lord listens with a tender and sympathetic heart and makes sense of groans that we can't make sense of. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. Yeah. How about this? In all things, God works for the good. Does this verse foretell a good ending? Yeah, it's kind of a mixed question there, isn't it? Could not mean, and quite frankly, I can go there. And I did with my daughter. I said, Kaylee, I'm going to watch you teach school again. I don't know if she'll teach school again. And then I told her, I'm going to hold your baby. I don't know that. Probably gave her some bad theology. But the good is our redemption. And I'll take you to the bottom, the last word of this 28 through 30. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also... What's that last word at verse 30? Glorified. Wow. Even as you said, Sean, it's temporary. He's doing a work, a good, good work in it all. It's his redempting work. By his rescuing, forgiving, transforming, and delivering grace. That's sweet stuff. How about this? Providing grace. And I like this. In 31 and 32, it says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And then he kind of explains in verse 32, who did not spare his own son but gave him up? Is he going to hold back? He's not going to hold back. Gave us his son. Not only that, but for thousands of years prior to that, and I don't know how he's sovereign God. He worked all the things out that right now, perfect time, 2,000 years ago, here comes Jesus now. And he worked all that out. What a God. Talk about big God here in a little bit. He's not going to hold back on you. He's not going to hold back on me and my suffering. A powerful monument. I love that. Never really thought of the cross that way. But that's good. That's good. And how about this one? We just talked about that. I may be weak, needy, and confused, but there's one thing I'm sure of. I am sure today that I am loved. Some of you know I suffered from vertigo for 3 or 4 years. Haven't had anything in about 6, 7, 7 or 8 months. Praise God. But I will tell you, there were times when I'm in the middle of it and the room's spinning and it's going on for a couple hours and I got the bucket beside me. I don't want to make this nasty here, but I remember Kaylee being in the other room. She was home and I scared her because it would not stop. And I had to keep some of God's word in front of me, just up here. And Romans 8, 28, well, even a lot of the Romans 8 was a whole lot of it. But this is a big one. This is a big one. We all want loved, but to be loved by the God of the universe is so, so cool. And remembering that when we're suffering. Yeah. So, let's go to the second reading. All right. Got some three short verses there. Probably spent more time on Romans 8 than we will on these others. I know we did. Will someone want to read Matthew 28 all the way and the other two as well? I'll let someone read here.
Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always till the end of the age. And Joshua 1:5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Hebrews 13:5. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you.
Yeah. Relative to suffering, in the context of suffering, there's one major theme you're seeing there, isn't there? What is it? Someone? He's not going to leave us, is he? Not going to leave. There's other good stuff there, too. In fact, contentment is later on in this class. But he's not going to leave us or forsake us. And if you were to write down one of the comforts, this would be the comfort of God's presence? You are right. His presence is so comforting. So comforting. I like this one. And the central lie. And we talked a little bit about this 2 weeks ago. Central lie of Satan to all God's suffering children. Where is your God now? Where is God good? Probably another one. But he is limitless in power. He has authority over everything. And perfect in every way. He dwells with us and he assures us that he is not leaving. He is not leaving. Yeah. That's good stuff. All right, we're going to Daniel. Anybody want to read Daniel 4, 34 to 35? Words from Nebuchadnezzar.
At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my reason returned to me. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion. And his kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, and he does according to his will among the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say to him, what have you done?
Yeah. And you know the story of old Neb, maybe the biggest, baddest dude on the planet at that time. And he's saying these things. Yeah, not familiar with that story. Go back to Daniel 4. I mean, he was ruthless. And yet, I'm guessing we may run into Neb some of these days down the road. I don't know. But what are you seeing there, guys? Gals? What did Neb see? That might be comforting to us. Or one of these. Comfort of God's
sovereignty.
He's in charge. How? comfort of God's sovereignty. I'm guessing after what Nebuchadnezzar just went through prior to that, he was probably grateful for that. Sounds like it anyway, huh? And I don't know, you know, how that makes you feel. But I love this thought, and we've talked about it before, the paradoxical comfort. Only when we give up the delusion that we've been or can be in greater control, then we can find rest. You mentioned again this morning, Josh, in your sermon, that we are not in control. But we can rest in that, because we know the God who is. And suffering proves that that helplessness is the portal to help. When we know we're helpless. That's good. That's good. The one in charge of it all for us and exercise that authority for His glory and our benefit. Yeah. Josh made the point last week that the end goal is His glory. But He's also for our benefit. Yeah. How about this one? 2 Corinthians 4. Let's take a look at it. Someone want to read it?
So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day, for this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. If indeed by putting it on, we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee.
Yeah, a lot of stuff there. Something that encourages us in our suffering. That we will not lose heart, the first verse says there. Verse 16. Or even as we look up here. By the way, I think this is your second study, Josh, on this Sunday school equipping class, God's Revealed Purposes for Suffering. And you have about 8 of them there, 9. But the last one is to increase our longing for what? The H word is? Home, heaven. And in light of that, you can cross off purpose there if you want to. This is only one of the purposes outlined by Josh earlier as well as Tripp, but it is a big purpose, comfort of God's purposes. And specifically with this one, we've talked about some of the other. We live with a here and now mentality. We want life to be as comfortable and predictable and pleasurable and successful and enjoyable as it can be. But is that God's goal for our lives? Better say no on that. Yeah. Either that or find another church. But His goal is really, quite frankly, is our progressive, for believers, is our progressive sanctification. I call it conform to Christ. Romans 8:29 mentions about 120 times, they say, in the New Testament, some form of that. It's vital that he is going to work. He's going to continue the good work and finish the good work. Yeah. And we want our goals to line up with his. Finally, you got home there. You already said that, didn't you, Teresa? Pry open our hands, loosen our hearts from the tight grip. And Habakkuk, or is it Habakkuk? Habakkuk, isn't it? Anybody want to read the last scripture there?
Actually, the Hebrew is Habakkuk. See, the fig tree should not blossom, nor the leaf, the fruit beyond the vines, nor the fruit beyond the vines. The produce of the olive fail. The field yield no food. The flock will be cut off from the fold. There will be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on high places. To the choir master with stringed instruments.
They were singing it. And how do you pronounce that name?
Habakkuk.
Habakkuk?
Habakkuk.
So, anything specifically you're seeing? By the way, the first time I read these verses was in a devotion one afternoon. I was still coaching. I had just lost a kid to injury. I think it might have been Nolan King that you may remember. And I don't know, someone, key player. Lost another one to, this is the week before our first game, and we were going to have a pretty good season. Lost another one to an injury. I think that might have been Nolan. Lost another one to academic. Didn't make it this week. And then lost another one who had said some sexist comments to a gal. And Rob Houchin brought me in and said, Scott, he won't be playing. And I'm a couple hours later reading this, and I went up and talked to Rob Houchin. Some of you remember he taught some Sunday school here, and said, what do you think about this? And you mind if I go for a drive? Because my stalls are empty right now. But yet he rejoiced in the Lord. And his heart was at rest. His heart was at rest. Yeah. So we got one we're not going to get to for 2 weeks. And that's how we help others, as well as how we allow others to help us in the church. But did I even get those to you? Bigger and more powerful. That is a mighty God. Even the deepest, darkest sufferings. And then rest in joy. Double the joy. I will rejoice. I will take joy. So, with that, and because we're supposed to be singing, you know you've got one more thing to do, and that's to listen to. This one's a little different now. Should I play it? If you need to go ahead. But and the words. It's got a little twang to it.
Strong. Try to make them all think I'm strong.
By the way, another topic that Pastor Josh brought up, he talked about strength today, and not our own, but God's strength. And check this out.
Yeah, the face I keep pulling on says I ain't tired. But these tear-stained eyes ain't lying. It's hard. Nobody told me life could be so hard. A weary soul with a worn-out heart that's barely beating. But every time I get that feeling, I can't do this on my own. Who knows how I tried, but I couldn't fall down. Thank God you're good at picking me.
I think she mentioned the Bible in there, but that was supposed to be the Bible. Let me pray. Lord, thank you. This whole world can be a hard place, but we've got you, the one who makes us strong. Lord, thank you for your word. Or we call it the Bible or the Bible. It's your word to us. Lord, let us embrace it. Let us read it. Let us pray it. Let us sing it. Lord, let us memorize it, remember it, Lord, as we go through these days, Lord, particularly in the midst of suffering or helping others who are suffering, Lord. And we pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Thanks, folks.
Thank you.
Say it one more time again from Joe. Not Habakkuk, but... Habakkuk, not Habakkuk, but
Habakkuk.
What was a kook?
Habakkuk.
Habakkuk. That's good. That's good. Keep it raining out there, Phil.
Yeah.
Let it.
Here.
Let it grow.
All right. Got to rain somewhere, doesn't it? I'm glad it's here. There must be a long-winded teacher
of this. I never knew this pastor to be concerned about time. Did you, Teresa? He preached as long as it needed to be preached. Oh, we had to get a song in there, Pastor. We always finish.
Lock you in and you can stay and pray.
I've got to go and pray.
Oh. You don't need another copy of this, do you, for any of your kids? Or do you have plenty? Okay. All right. I was given this. Someone that's given it away, I thought. Either you needed it or Denny, or maybe I should see if the library has it. Yeah. Well, you can't throw away, but at least the end parts, yeah. The
R's
and Valley Chapel.
Yeah.
Valley Chapel. All right, I'm going to leave you to pray, guys. Another one she's got out there that's pretty common too, but I think of the name of it. God. I better turn that off. Thanks for saying something, John.
That's a prayer that they don't have any problems over there. And then my second cousin is going to lose his right arm, maybe his left leg.